If you've been stuck at home during the pandemic, have you found yourself winnowing through closets? Wearing the same yoga pants for a year really focuses the mind on how little clothing we actually need. The amount of clothes Americans throw away every year has doubled in the last 20 years, from 7 million to 14 million tons, according to the EPA. And it's overflowing already overstuffed landfills. So now fashion brands like Adif, get it, a difference, are developing new ways to reduce textile waste by recycling, or as it's called, upcycling used clothing. And Adif has recipes for how to do that. Truly, their book is the Open Source Fashion Cookbook. We'll have tons of pictures at herenow.org, recipes or directions for everything from a shirt dress made of a couple of button-downs to a collapsed umbrella turned into a hat. We want to bring in co-founder Angela Luna. She's in New York. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. And Lowell Assad is in Amman, Jordan. Lowell, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Robin.
And Angela, I should have said to you, welcome back, because we spoke in 2016. At that time, you were a senior at the Parsons School of Design, and you'd created a coat that could be turned into a tent for a displaced person or a homeless person. And we understand that's now a centerpiece in your company. So congratulations. But it just underscores what we're talking about. You've long thought that fashion should be socially responsible.
Yeah, I mean, I originally started Adif with this general idea that fashion can do more. Since 2016, my goal has just been evolving that idea and transitioning that from just, you know, a jacket that can turn into a tent into really questioning the entire fashion industry as a whole and how we can actually put solutions into practice.
And also, Angela, it's a reminder about this pandemic to students and people everywhere. If you're bored and you have an idea, it could grow into a great thing during a time like this, which is what happened with your cookbook. Talk about that.
Exactly. So we were spending pretty much our entire lives at home just sort of reflecting on the position of the fashion industry. And with everything that was going on in the U.S., you know, watching and participating in the social justice movements nationwide, we started to really sort of question fashion's role in every sort of aspect in the world, especially as it related to systemic racism. So we were thinking about ways that we could make sustainable fashion more accessible to people. I know, like everyone else, you know, my restaurant bill was cut down almost entirely when the pandemic happened because I started cooking from home. And I realized, wow, you know, not only is this healthier for me, but it's also healthier for my wallet. And I thought, well, you know, why can't fashion sort of be that same way? Generally, fast fashion is, you know, bad for the planet, bad for people, bad for everything.
By fast fashion, this is this notion that cheaply made clothing, which is far more affordable for people, they can, you know, wear it and then toss it. But that's really bad for the environment.
Exactly. No, it is incredibly harmful because these pieces generally only last, you know, 1 to 2 wears. And it's similar. We would compare fast fashion to sort of fast food. Sort of thinking about that idea, you know, my professors always said, if you're good at design, you're probably a good cook as well. If you wanted to learn how to cook, you know, you go to a cookbook or you look up some recipes online. Why can't that be applied to fashion? And how can we educate people on how to care for their clothes better, mend their clothes, and actually create things themselves so they no longer have to rely on the existing fashion system?
Well, Lulwa, there in Jordan, where you're visiting family, tell me about this concept of having designers actually contribute to this cookbook. Design is so proprietary. That's why something's called a knockoff. You know, when you make something that looks like a high-end design, you got designers to actually contribute and tell people how to do it.
Yeah, so the reason we asked designers to contribute is because we envision this as a comprehensive industrial shift, so it cannot just end with us. And we actually got a great response from most of the designers who we reached out to. And we feel like this is, you know, the best way to create impact in the industry if we all collectively work together.
Yeah. I am looking at a picture of a plastic hoodie, a lovely plastic hoodie around a model's head, which also drops down and has pockets, kind of like a vest. What is that? Is that a shower curtain?
That is a shower curtain, yes. So in designing the pieces for the cookbook, we were trying to think in creating garments, what could we use or what could people use within their own homes that they could upcycle to create something new that wouldn't cause them to rely on traditional, you know, fashion supply stores. So we're looking at materials like, you know, t-shirts, jeans, blankets, bed sheets, shower curtains, broken umbrellas that they might traditionally throw away after a few uses. So shower curtains were one of those. And this is sort of, yeah, like it's our system pocket. So this is one of the applications of that. This is a chest harness that also has a waterproof hood that's made from a shower curtain.
And when you say upcycle, Lua, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we define upcycling as the use of existing materials, often materials to be discarded to create new items. So this means that you're not going to the fabric store to buy brand new fabric that was produced as a textile at a textile mill, but leveraging existing things as the raw material to create something new. So the concept of making your own garments isn't novel, like until the introduction of fast fashion. So like creating your own clothing was customary. Like we can all just ask our grandmas.
Yeah, people used to like darn their socks. They'd like sew up holes in things. They would constantly work on their clothing to get every single second out of it.
Exactly.
And clothing was cherished too back then, like back when people would darn their socks. People had a great sense of respect for their clothing and would keep it for years.
Okay, I'm going to ask each of you. Angela, you start. Just what's one of your favorite designs in the book, and what does it use?
I will say one of my favorite pieces in the book is actually the blanket jacket. This jacket was just used from two woven blankets that I happen to have laying around my apartment. But honestly, I wear this jacket out in the city all the time. And I tell you, I've never gotten so many compliments on a piece in my life.
Yeah. Lua?
My favorite piece, I would say, is the assembly shirt dress. The two button down shirts, just because it's the easiest item to create in this entire book. It requires no sewing. But other than that, this dress can be made using these like two dress shirts as a way to provide, you know, a new look to an old classic.
And who doesn't have old button-down Oxford shirts in the back of their closet?
Exactly, exactly. Everyone
especially
does.
Ones that are too large.
Yeah, right. Listen, just before we let you go, what further advice, just maybe one thought from each of you, do you have for consumers, just as they shop, how to be more sustainable and how to think of questions to ask? Angela?
Well, in writing this book, we really wanted to provide an educational tool for the customer to actually understand what questions they should be asking of their brands, you know, trying to provide a little bit more insight into what goes on, I like to say, behind the seams of the garment. Where it's being made, who is making it, how much those people are getting paid. My main point would just be to start to understand the time and the effort and the materials that actually go into producing garments.
And Lua?
So for us, what we did in this cookbook is we wanted to have a 360 approach in order to educate the customer. So we asked different thought leaders and academics in the sustainable fashion space to submit essays on sustainability, ethics, and inclusivity in the industry. For example, Sophia Lee's essay, who's a journalist, touches on the consumer perspective and talks about shopping consciously and how shopping from sustainable brands is actually not the only answer. But what we actually need to be doing is shopping less and using what we already have, taking a cue from all these traditional practices, such as mending and repairing and so on.
And again, what fun to put together one of these outfits. From Adif co-founders Angela Luna and Lawa Al-Saad, their book is The Open Source Fashion Cookbook, recipes for making your own clothing out of clothing you already have. We'll have links and everything at herenow.org. Angela, again, congratulations. And Lua, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Robin.
And again, their self-published open source fashion cookbook is available on Amazon. The authors say, yes, a big cut goes to Amazon, but a percentage goes to those designers who gave their work and some to Adif. Pictures at herenow.org. And what I love is the models. That look that says, yes, I'm wearing what appears to be a rubber dinghy. You have a problem with that? It's at herenow.org.